Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Hi, I'm Tahaka Amana El Bay. There's some very important things that we need to consider when dealing with police stops. First of all, does failure to wear a seatbelt constitute a breach of the peace? Is it a public nuisance? Is there an injured party? If a policeman stops you, is he an officer of the law? Has he taken a public oath of office? Is he a public official? Criminal impersonation in the first degree is a felony. In order to exercise your freedom of rights successfully, contact me, Tahaka Amana El Bay, area code 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now send an email, tahaka53@hotmail.com.
Welcome, Moors, to Moorish Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay. And this evening, we will be dealing with the trust and quite a few other things. We'll also be coming to you tomorrow night with another broadcast on how not to go into court or what to do to stay out of there. And then, of course, Thursday night, we will be back with some up-to-date information on exactly what's going on inside the United States as far as dollars concerned and what we are facing in the next few years. So don't miss these two powerful broadcasts. Make sure that you got paper and pencil handy. And if you got any questions, go ahead and raise your hand. We will open up the line so that you can get in. What is the Great Deception? What's that all about? What is this a trust? You know, we're going to deal with what a trust is. We're also going to deal with the breakdown of a trust. And I'm going to be coming directly from the documents that we have so that you can get a gist of what it's all about for those of us who've been meaning to get around to setting up our trust and stuff. We're going to give you the breakdown on that. And for more than one angle, we're also going to touch on something that was very, very important for those of you who did not catch that broadcast involving the grand jury. I've been telling everybody to go ahead and request a copy of the Supreme Court ruling, and I will send that to you. Just send me an email, say, Tahaka, send me the information on the grand jury, and I'll send that to you in an email attachment. Send your request to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll rush that right to you. That's tahaka53@hotmail.com, 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 and I'll rush that right through you as an email attachment. It's very important for us to get that going. We got a lot of things going inside the United States. The brothers and sisters are doing documents. It's all kind of, you know, they're battling with these courts and all of these things. However, things will be much, much easier if we can get some things set up that we can really, really use from our perspective. So it's very important for us to get this stuff set up. If you want to join the grand jury, just give me a call, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll put your name on the list, and as we get this information, we're able to send this directly to you to let you know what's going on and how you tie into this thing and how you will be able to function as a juror, okay? All right, we actually in motion with this, and this is real. And this is something that we can use when there are problems involving our loved ones and stuff. We have some power that we can actually use. Okay? Now, we're going to go directly into dealing with this trust situation. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this information from a plug we have involving the Seskate Trust. And I want you to pay very close attention to what you're going to hear, and then we're going to actually take this thing and re-break it down to you so that you can understand. Okay? All right. So y'all hold your hat for 1 second.
So please put the camera down now, or I'll have my court officer confiscate it.
Your Honor, why are you yelling at me? The Supreme Court clearly states I can do that. Your own doorway says I can do that. You're doing it to me, and I checked with your clerk. And I'm also going to wonder what made you run out of the courtroom like that today. You were in such a haste.
I am collapsing the CQV trust.
Okay, we will take a brief
which
recess.
Which you have charged.
At time, we will resume with
as there is no value in the
advice.
You have committed fraud on the court. Did you not create controversy?
You're fired.
Okay. Well, that's going to be up to the judge, I'm afraid. Because the judge appointed me, and only the judge can take me out of the case. If she wants to do that, that's fine. I'll let it know.
She's fired, too.
Thank you.
I do not consent.
Please, sir.
Thank you.
Camera.
Yes,
did
Your Honor.
Did you get judicial permission to photograph in here this morning?
Your Honor, I checked with the clerk's office. I did indeed.
There is a procedure that must be followed.
Well, I checked on the procedure, Your Honor, and I've done this a million times. I used to be an attorney myself, and I duly checked everyone, and there was never an issue presented.
Did you check the court rules, sir?
I've checked the court rules. I've done this many times in
and
many New Hampshire.
I have something in writing from you indicating a request to photograph this morning's proceedings filed in advance of the hearing?
Well, Your Honor, that rule is not always followed, and I did check.
Sir,
I checked with the clerk this morning, Your Honor. With all due respect, Your Honor.
The clerk has no right to issue an order. So please put the camera down now, or I'll have my court officer confiscate it.
Now, that was a very strange outburst from the court, and it really wasn't called for. So I thought about that as I headed back to Boston this afternoon. What could make the judge change the way she did? Because there was no problem with me in the courtroom earlier, until things got salty and the defendant started waving around blue pieces of paper and talking about appointing her as trustee and things of that nature. Anyway, the rules, as you see them, clearly provide that I should be allowed access, and they also provide that there should be some type of advance notice, which is what I gave to your clerk, who then stated to me there was no problem. So if there was a problem, Your Honor, you need to make that clear with your clerk and stop blaming me for any of the problems that you have in your courtroom. Thank you. So why are you tripping? I mean, it's not like you didn't see me. A black man walks into your courtroom in Milford, New Hampshire, with, you know, tweed pants, an orange jacket, a purple shirt, a fedora, and a 550-millimeter zoom camera on him, and you didn't notice me? Everybody noticed me in the courtroom. Everybody knew I was there. I knew a cop who was there. We were talking outside. He knows me from courtroom experience. What was your problem today? Please explain it to me, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I believe the court has before a motion for Mr. Ingres.
I do. State versus John Ingres.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Ingres, would you come forward, sir, and join us?
Are you saying that the trust you are administering is the John Ingres Trust?
Mr. Ingres, if you'd come up, sir, and stand beside Attorney David Al.
John Ingres is in court. That's you, judge, as trustee. You are John Ingres today, aren't you?
Attorney David Al.
Yes, ma'am. Before we go any further, I need to know who you are.
I am Judge Crocker, right here.
Thank you. Clerk, are you the CQV trustee who has appointed this judge as administrator and trustee of the Constructive Trust, case number 458-2010-CR-01203?
Mr. Attorney David Al, your motion for competency evaluation is granted, and we will ensure that before Mr. David Al, before Attorney Ingres is back before the court, that we're sure that he understands the workings of the court.
Clerk, did you also appoint the prosecutor as executor of this constructive trust?
Mr. Ingres?
You are the trustee.
Mr. Ingres.
And
Mr.
are you
Ingres,
not the executor?
Mr. Ingres.
I'm the beneficiary.
Well,
and I authorize you to handle the accounting and dissolve this constructive trust.
Mr. Ingres.
I now claim my body.
Mr. Ingres, I
as I am collapsing the CQV trust.
Okay, we will take a brief
which you have
staff,
which you have charged.
Time we will resume with
as
the
there is no value in
all
the
right.
You have committed fraud on the court. Did you not create controversy?
Here. Well, Mr. Ingres, is personal to your case. I don't think you want to do that in public.
I'd like to bring a court reporter. A reporter.
Mr. Ingres, I just want to let you know that the court is ordering you to speak to a state psychiatrist before this case goes
I don't consent.
Further. I'm afraid it's a court order.
I'm afraid I don't consent to the court order.
There are consequences when you don't consent to a court order.
There are consequences when a higher law is violated by pretend authorities.
Mr. Ingres, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Probably not best to have this conversation at this moment.
Would
please
there
feel
be
free to make a make an appointment to talk to me at my office.
Would he have the opportunity to have alternate position, counsel? Would he have the opportunity to have an alternate position, issue an opinion on that as well, if he's
I
ordered
can't
to?
I can't talk to anybody else about his case.
Now, with all due respect, Counselor, it's not about your client's case. I'm asking about the procedure in general. Anytime you agree with a cop that somebody needs to be subject to a psychiatric evaluation, I need to know what the process is.
Well, if he authorizes it, then
certainly if you waive confidentiality, you could, right?
Do you want to waive confidentiality?
Hmm?
Do you want to waive confidentiality?
Sure.
Sure. Well, why don't you waive confidentiality then?
Counsel, Mr.
I can't leave the courtroom.
He's waived confidentiality, counsel, so did you have any comment that, notwithstanding that? I beg your pardon? Competency is an issue, so therefore, I understand your position, counsel.
So this waiver to me is not effective.
But he's not been yet declared incompetent, has he?
No, he hasn't.
Okay. I understand, counsel. Thank you.
Okay, Moore, we're back. We got a caller with his hand raised. Area code 843. Tell me who you are and what's your question.
My name is Tyrone Parson, and I guess my question is
what exactly was he trying to get accomplished with what he just did just now?
Well, what he did just then is he uncovered the court fraud by making them aware of the fact that he is aware that the whole thing is about trying to access his bond and extract revenue from him. And he called the court out on that and charging the court with fraud. The court is trying to do everything they can to shut him down, to keep this out the ears of everybody else. And if you listen to what he was saying about, he's acknowledging that he's collapsing the trust. In other words, this is on the record. You're being made fully aware of the fact that you cannot access any funds. We do not understand, meaning that we don't stand under any authority that you're claiming to represent. You are not a lawful court. The entire situation is in public policy, and he's pretty much exposing that information.
But, see, this is the thing. They're not a lawful court, but in accordance with the law, isn't there, like, basically two forms of government where you can choose, you can opt in or out of that government if you didn't want to and back into the republic?
Well, yeah, you can go inside the administrative building and talk to that administrative clerk and do that, too. Yes, you can.
No, you don't have to even go to the administrative building. My question is, like, what I'm trying to say is, that is a process that may work, but to me it seems like it would have been a little drawn-out process, basically just telling you don't want to contract with them and leave it at that. Why not just tell you don't want to contract?
That's correct, too. That is also correct, too. But this gentleman didn't do that. We got a lot of people that don't know that and are in the same situation. So this is why we added this information this evening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, a lot of people wouldn't know that, and they probably would. I'm just saying they probably would understand that no contract a little better than the trust, because a lot the trust issues in dealing with trust is a lot to know, like executor, trustee, beneficiary. It's a lot in that process. But if you would tell them all just to say no contract.
Okay. Well, we're gonna.
I think that would kind of get it a little quicker.
We're gonna get to that. Tonight, because I got more information that I'm going to bring him. I'm going to go in there and deal with the deed of trust and the common law trust and put this information out as well. But you're absolutely correct. There's more than one way to skin a cat. We're just skinning him this way tonight.
You got I just like to let the people know that these methods do work. I just experienced the situation. Distribution, two different distributions, and possession within a school count, and I just received the paperwork saying that all charges have been dismissed, and I did it all myself, no attorney, knowing who I am, and I just want to stand as anyone who knows me, who is listening in, that this method does work, and if you pay attention, but the key is you must do your due diligence and hard work and dedication will make a way for you.
Okay.
And I just want to go back and listen now.
All right. Well, we appreciate you dialing in, brother, and giving us your input. We thank you a lot, man.
All right.
Peace. Okay, Moses. If anybody else got a question, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will open up the line so you can get in. And I'm going to go into this deed of trust. We want to define this stuff for those of us who don't know. This information is available. We have it inside Tarko's archives. We're coming from there this evening. And there's a ton of other information that you can receive right there on YouTube. You can learn a lot about this stuff. But we're going to do as much as we can here this evening. And if you got any questions as we go along, don't hesitate to raise your hand. I'll open up the line so you can get in. And you can let me know what you think about it, okay? All right. So now, y'all hold on 1 second, and then when we come back, we'll be going straight into this trust situation.
Living in a constant state of fear has never been good. Many of us fear the Internal Revenue Service. We don't know what to do about it. For one reason, we don't know what it is. Send for my free reports to taraha53@hotmail.com. That's T-A-R-A-H-A-K-A 53@hotmail.com. We'll send our articles to you. We'll also send one good solid video that should do it once and for all about exercising your freedom of right to travel. And our second video shows you exactly what to do with your writ of habeas corpus, how to deal with these people in the courtroom, and what to send these people and how to respond to them. Send that to taraha53@hotmail.com, or you can call me, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't hesitate to visit our website, taraha53@hotmail.com. That's the email website, www.newdateelimination.com.
Okay, we're back. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to deal with a certified deed of trust, and we're going to deal with the definition first. Deed of trust. This deed of trust is an agreement under which a debtor, in parentheses, a borrower, conveys the right of ownership of his or her real property to a trustee, in parentheses, often a title company, as a security for the sum advanced by a lender. The terms of the deed provides that the transfer of legal title fee will be void on the timely payment of the debt. If the borrower defaults on the payment of the debt, the trustee is empowered by the deed to sell the property and pay the lender the proceeds to satisfy the debt. The deed of trust is the document that is recorded in the public records. This document should be used by a borrower or lender in the financing of real estate transactions. Deed of trust. The indenture, hereafter referred to as the deed of trust, made and entered into on this day, this month, this day, by and between these parties, herein referred to as debtor and referred as trustee and so and so forth. Whereas debtor is indebted to beneficiary evidenced by promissory note or even date herewith in favor of the beneficiary, providing for payment of attorney's fees for collection if not paid according to the terms thereof and being due and payable as set forth. This document here is a deed of trust, and it goes on, and it's it behooves us to actually take a look at it. But what I want everybody out there to do is, if you get one of these instruments and you attempt to read the instrument and there's something in the instrument that you don't understand, look up the word. If there's a word in the instrument you don't understand, you don't even have to stop reading. All you got to do is write down the word. Continue to read. If you run into something else, write down the word. If it's a phrase or something that you don't understand, write it down, and then go back and look up the meaning of the word, and that will bring understanding to you of these type of documents. It doesn't matter what kind of document it is. It could be a land patent document. It could be any kind of document that you're reading and you don't understand the word. Look up the word, okay? And what will happen is they will, as you look up the meanings of these words, it will make it plain to you what you are dealing with, and you are able to understand the document. You are able to go back and read the document with understanding if you look up the words. If you read over a document and you're not willing to look up any words, you're going to be at a loss. You can make mistakes, especially if you're attempting to do this kind of stuff on your own. This is very, very important for us to understand how to go about doing your documents. Instead of asking a buddy or a friend, the best thing to do is look it up for yourself. Get it in your head so that you will have the power because you have taken the time to look it up for yourself. And I wanted to, that's my main point for bringing this information out here in this deed. Now, we're going to look at a second deed a little bit later on. But y'all hold on. And we're going to bring some more information out. We're going to come back to dealing with distrust. But right now, what I want to do is touch on something that we dealt with the other day, which is very, very important. And I want you to pay close attention to what this gentleman is going to say involving what we discussed the other day. This is very, very important information. If you get this under your belt, you have some true understanding about some things. But we want to bring this point out here this evening. I didn't get a chance to bring it out the other day, but today we're going to get it out there for you, okay, so that you can listen to it, okay? Now, let me go right up here. Y'all just bear with me for a moment, and let me get to this. And we'll go ahead and put it on for you. And keep in mind, at any point you have a question, don't hesitate to raise your hand, okay? Don't hesitate to raise your hand. I'll open up the line so that you can get in and you can let us know what's on your mind, okay? And that's how you learn. If you ask questions, we'll try to get it out there for you, okay?
The only peaceful solution. We in America do not have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate. Thomas Jefferson. Today we have a constitutional crisis, a judicial crisis, we have a political crisis, and a monetary crisis. Add to that a national emergency, and we've come to the end of America. If you fail to act today, this will be America's children. Silence and non-action equals consent. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, we read, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Power. It's all about power. Today, the elite control the people through legislation, corporations, monopolies. They control our government through the two major parties, the Republican and the Democratic parties. They control our judicial system through the Bar Association. They control our education. They control our entertainment. They control our media. They control our religion, and they control our money. And all this adds up to the New World Order. But it's all about power. With these two power structures, they're able to control the entire country, our entire government, our judicial process, and all the people. Today we're going to talk about judicial power. Our solution: established 3,141 common law grand juries in all 3,141 United States counties. It is the duty of the common law grand jury to expose all fraud and corruption, whether it is in the political or judicial realm, and stop it. The authority of the grand jury is found only in the Bill of Rights. Therefore, it comes from God and not government. Fifth Amendment: no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. A presentment differs from an indictment in that it is an accusation made by a grand jury on their own motion, either upon their own observation and knowledge or upon evidence before them, while an indictment is preferred to the suit of the government and is usually framed in the first instance by the prosecuting officer of the government and by him laid before the grand jury to be found or ignored. Using New York as an example, one Monday morning our servant government will awaken to 62 common law grand juries acting together in one accord and bring these people under control. At the time of this recording, we have 46 states across the nation already working on grand juries. One day, our government will waken to the common law grand juries in 50 states acting together in one accord, and then liberty's light will shine once again to a lost world. The following is from a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, the United States versus Williams. Antonin Scalia, writing for the majority, said, "It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. The American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branch of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is in effect a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. The Fifth Amendment demands a traditional, functional, common law grand jury." They went on to say that the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts. The courts do not preside over the function of the common law grand jury. The courts have no supervisory judicial authority over the common law grand jury. The grand jury's functional, independent from the judicial branch is evident both in the scope of its power to investigate criminal wrongdoing and in the manner in which its power is exercised. The grand jury can investigate merely on the suspicion that a law has been violated, or even because it wants assurance that it is not. The grand jury needs not identify the offenders, its suspects, or even the precise nature of the offense it is investigating. The grand jury requires no authorization from its constituting courts to initiate an investigation or to seek an indictment. The grand jury operates without the interference of a presiding judge. The grand jury swears in its own witnesses and deliberates in total secrecy. The grand jury remains free to pursue its investigations unhindered by external influences or supervision so long as it does not trench upon the legitimate right of any witness called before it. The Fifth Amendment constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. The grand jury belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or a referee between the government and the people. The Sixth Amendment's right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before the grand jury, even if he is the subject of the investigation. It would run counter to the whole history of the grand jury institution to permit an indictment to be challenged on the grounds that there was incompetent or inadequate evidence before the grand jury. So what's possible? We can turn back the political and judicial clock to 1789. We can indict criminals, including judges and politicians. We can reinstate the real duties of the sheriff. We can reinstate the elected committeemen. We can reopen our armories and reinstate our militia. We can force compliance to the Third Continental Congress 2009 Articles of Freedom. We can stop open political corruption and bind them by the chains of the Constitution. We can stop open judicial corruption and bind them by the chains of the Constitution. We can do all of the above in 30 days or less. We can save America. Qualifications. There must be at least 25 members statewide. You must be over 18 years old. The members must be people of the jurisdiction of your state. Jurisdiction. No decision of a grand jury is reviewable in any court of the government. Any government transgression against anyone in any respect. Any government breaking of articles of peace or security. Any dispute regarding anyone who has been unconstitutionally detained or removed by the government without legal sentence of his peers from his lands, his castles, his liberties, or lawful rights. Jury rules. It is the duty of the grand jury, if anyone's unalienable rights have been violated or removed without legal sentence of their peers from their lands, homes, liberties, or lawful right, we, the 25, shall straightway restore them. And if a dispute shall arise concerning this matter, it shall be settled according to the judgment of the 25 grand jurors, the sureties of the peace. Marbury versus Madison, a legal maxim. Every right, when withheld, must have a remedy, and every injury its proper redress. William Blackstone. Hoke versus Henderson. That statute which would deprive a citizen of the rights of person or property without a regular trial, according to the course and usage of common law, would not be the law of the land. There is a common law principle which states that for there to be a crime, there must first be a victim. Corpus delicti. In the absence of a victim, there can be no crime, and the state cannot be the victim. In order to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, by deliberating under natural law, principled under justice, honor, and mercy, for a perpetual administration of trust on behalf of the people, acknowledging the foundations upon which all law weighs. The common law grand jury can and will take control. We will read the Riot Act to all of our elected and selected Supreme Court judges. Prosecutors will have no more puppet jurors and juries. We will end corruption in our state capitals. Sheriffs are the people's police force and are the top cop. They must keep their oaths and disobey any illegal orders, and we will back them up. The common law grand jury indictment cannot be stopped. The process. Grand jury issues a true bill of indictment. True bills are signed by the grand jury foreman. Indictments are filed with the clerk of the courts, thus beginning a formal criminal proceeding. U.S. Code 18, subsection 2071. Whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys or attempts to do so documents filed or deposited with any clerk or officer of any court shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 3 years or both. U.S. Code 18, 2076, clerk is to file. Whoever being a clerk willfully refuses or neglects to make or forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And this one is very specifically for the judge. Whosoever knowingly uses intimidation, threatens, or corruptly persuades another person or attempts to do so, or engages in misleading conduct towards another person with the intent to influence, delay, or prevent an official proceeding, cause or induce any person to withhold, a document or other objects from an official proceeding, alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal an official proceeding, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. We have been conditioned. We have been robbed. If you have a spiritual problem, you have been programmed to find a priest or a pastor. If you have a political problem, you have been programmed to join a party. If you have a justice problem, you are programmed to hire a lawyer. This makes you a slave. This is where you need to find freedom. Spiritual power gives forgiveness of sins and gives you your unalienable rights. It gives you a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. Political power provides for domestic tranquility, common defense, and the general welfare. Judicial power establishes justice and secures the blessings of liberty. These three powers control your destiny. These three powers can free you from tyrants. When we don't have control of these three powers, then we are subject to the rule of tyrants. And right now they have programmed us to run away from these things. They have programmed us to find a priest or a pastor, to find a party, to find a lawyer, to get into their process, the things that they've created. And therefore, you are a slave until you come above it, take control of your destiny. Until you control these three powers, you cannot have liberty. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." You know, if we do not have spiritual power, if we do not have a relationship with our God, if we do not go into our prayer closets and work it out as a son to a father, then you cannot have political power. You cannot have judicial power. You cannot have a sense of justice. You cannot have a sense of honor. You cannot have a sense of mercy. You will have self-righteousness and not true righteousness. We cannot then establish a justice, and we cannot secure the blessings of liberty, for we have not been blessed with liberty. So, you know, we must turn back to God, and we must humble ourselves, we must pray, we must seek His face, we must turn from our wicked ways, and then He may forgive us our sins and heal our land. The judicial fraud. Our courts are controlled by a private association. The state does not license lawyers. Furthermore, lawyers do not practice law. They practice statutes. The state bar card is not a license. It is a union's dues card. The bar is a professional association like the actors' unions, painters' unions, etc. No other association, even doctors, issue their own licenses. All licenses are issued by the state. The Bar Association is a private association. It cannot license anyone on behalf of the state. The ABA accredits all the law schools, holds their private examinations, selects the students that they will accept into their organization, and issues them so-called licenses for fees, but does not issue state licenses to lawyers. The bar is the only one that can punish or disbar a lawyer, and not the state. The ABA also selects the lawyers that they consider qualified for judgeship and various other offices in the state. Only the Bar Association or their designating committees can remove any of these lawyers from public office. In Bouvier's Law Dictionary, 1858, it tells us justice is synonymous with virtue. It is confined to the things simply good or evil. Luke chapter 6, verse 19 tells us virtue emanates from God. History records the struggles in courts between the mind of God and the mind of man, civil law versus common law. In Luke chapter 11, verse 52, we read where the Lord said, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." God is that key of knowledge. Right to practice law. New York Code, subsection 478, says, "Practicing or appearing as an attorney at law without being admitted and registered." It says nothing about being licensed. Lawyers and attorneys are not licensed to practice law. The certificate from the state Supreme Court only authorizes them to represent wards of the court. Wards of the court are infants and persons of unsound mind, someone placed under the protection of a legal guardian by the court. A next friend is a person who represents someone else who is unable to attend to their own, his or her own interests. Those are the federal rules of civil procedures. The practice of law cannot be licensed by any state. U.S. Supreme Court ruling Schwar versus the Board of Examiners. This is another U.S. Supreme Court ruling that says the practice of law is an occupation of common right. And again, another U.S. Supreme Court ruling, members of the group who are competent non-lawyers can assist other members of the group achieve the goals of the group in court without being charged with unauthorized practice of law. Statutes are not law. Our courts are controlled by a private association. Legislators are authorized under the Constitution, ordained by the people, to write statutes and codes that are enforced as law to control bureaucrats, municipalities, government agencies, elected officials, interstate commerce, but not the people, whose rights are unalienable and cannot be legislated. Self versus Ray. The common law is the real law, the supreme law of the land. The code, rules, regulations, policies, and statutes are not the law. Bonnet versus Valera. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principle follows that it imposes no duties, it confers no rights, it creates no office, it bestows no power or authority on anyone. It affords no protection and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law. Indeed, insofar as the statute runs counter to the fundamental law of the land, the Constitution, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. It's all about jurisdiction and consent. Challenge the jurisdiction, refuse to consent, and you will win. To deprive the people of their sovereignty, it is first necessary to get the people to agree to submit to the authority of the entity they have created. That is done by getting them to claim they are citizens of that entity. In a Supreme Court ruling, U.S. Supreme Court ruling, State versus Waters, if defendant enters a plea of not guilty and is in court the day of the trial, the court has jurisdiction over that person. Muhammad versus State, U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Municipal courts do not have jurisdiction to render final judgments on felony charges. People versus Gabe, new U.S. Supreme Court ruling. An appearance ticket is not an accusatory instrument, and its filing does not confer jurisdiction over the defendant. Another U.S. Supreme Court ruling, People versus Gisti. Service of an appearance ticket on an accused does not confer personal or subject matter jurisdiction upon a criminal court. Again, it's all about jurisdiction and consent. Challenge the jurisdiction and you will win. Trial courts act without jurisdiction when it acts without inherent or common law authority. U.S. Supreme Court ruling, State versus Rodriguez. Basso versus UPL, another U.S. Supreme Court ruling. When challenged, jurisdiction must be documented, shown, and proven to lawfully exist before a case may lawfully proceed in the courts. Fontenot versus State, U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Where the court is without jurisdiction, it has no authority to do anything other than to dismiss the case. Davis versus State, U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Criminal law magistrates have no power of their own and are unable to enforce any ruling. Cruden versus Neal, U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Every man is independent of all laws except those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institutions formed by his fellow man without his consent. So therefore, if there is no injured party, there is no crime. Simply put, legislators do not have the authority to legislate people's behavior. Neither do the courts have the authority to enforce legislation to control the people's behavior. Law is not complex. Common law is natural law. It is written in the hearts of all men. The Holy Bible tells us, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. The law is written in the hearts of men. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Natural law. If there is no injured party, there is no crime. Principles of liberty. Consent and jurisdiction. It's all about consent and jurisdiction. In order to have liberty, it is extremely important that you understand consent. Our servant government can do nothing without your consent. The Declaration of Independence, we read, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, the consent of the governed, two of the most powerful consentors are the common law grand jury and the committeemen, the elected committeemen. And in another video, we will discuss the elected committeemen. But right now, we're looking at the grand jury, and the key thing here is the consent of the government. You have, as an individual, get to consent every time you come in contact with the government. You can consent to what they want to do or you cannot consent. And whenever they resist you, they are the servant. Whenever they resist you, then they are in violation. They have exceeded their jurisdiction when they resist you. They can only act within the jurisdiction, within the authority that they have been given. Once they step outside of that authority, they are now violating you, and they are subject to being sued and subject to criminal prosecution. Any authority our servants have is by our consent. If they act outside their authority, they are subject to criminal charges under U.S. Codes 4218 and liable for damages under U.S. Codes and common law. Our servant government has defrauded us. They know they need the people's consent, but they dumbed us down and created facades. The existing grand juries are puppets controlled by the politically appointed government-paid prosecutors who orchestrate the will of the grand jury. The existing trial juries are puppets controlled by a government-paid judge under political pressure to maintain the status quo, who orchestrates the will of the trial jury. They know they need the people's consent, and they commit fraud every time they use the puppet juries. And now you know. Principle of liberty, consent and jurisdiction. It's all about consent and jurisdiction. The judge is your servant. He has no authority to judge and sentence you without your consent. In legal terms, when the judge asks you, do you understand? He means, do you stand under the authority of this court? So when you say yes, you just gave him or her jurisdiction over you. Our U.S. Constitution only authorizes common law courts. Our New York State Constitution says the courts of appeal, the Supreme Court, including the appellate division, shall be courts of record. A court of record removes the power of the judge to make a ruling. His role is that of the administrator of the court. The final determinator is the tribunal, who is either the sovereign plaintiff or a jury. Remember, the servant cannot rule over the master. Can the clay rule over the potter? Our servant government has defrauded us. They know they need the people's consent, but they dumbed us down and created facades. The existing grand juries are puppets controlled by the politically appointed government paid prosecutor who orchestrates the will of the grand jury. Every man is independent of all law except those prescribed by nature. He is not bound by any institutions formed by his fellow man without his consent. Prudent versus Neal. Herein is liberty. If you do not give them consent, they have no jurisdiction over you. So under U.S. Codes 42 and 18, when you are detained for violating a statute, you have just been kidnapped. And if the judge sets a bail, he has just set a ransom. And when the prosecutor confirms the charges, they are all part of a conspiracy. And you can put them in jail and receive compensation for your injuries. It's all about consent and jurisdiction. To find out more, go to NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Slave language. Words in court have a legal consequence. The following must become a state of mind. We must think free, act free, and only then will you be free. We are a republic, not a democracy. The United States is a nation, not a country. We are people, not subjects. You are domiciled, not a resident. You have unalienable rights, not constitutional rights or civil rights. Constitutions are law. Statutes are not law. You are above statutes. You are not a statute-abiding citizen. You ordained the Constitution for the United States of America and the states. You are sovereign. The state is a clipped sovereign. You practiced law on the land. Lawyers practice statutes. New York is a sovereign country, not part of the federal government. This is your court. You are the sovereign, and the judge works for you. What to do? Don't depend on others. This is your responsibility to stand up. Only the people can save the Republican. Washington and Albany and all the other state capitals will never do it. They are the problem. If you are not already on our website, go to nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, Morris, we're back. We just want to run that information for those of you who listen to the segment that we've done in regards to setting up our own grand jury. I wanted to add that particular information as well so that we can have a gist of what's out there, what we can do, what the power of the construction of it, because we're going to give you all the minute details. But what we're trying to do now is get started. Let's do this. I mean, you know, we have all these problems across the United States. The Supreme Court has already ruled that you have the power now to do this. I mean, you can come on in, come on down. There is no excuse. You can get something done. They're shooting your children down in the streets. There's something you can do about it. You know, locking you up unjustly, all this stuff. We got people in the United States outside the internet world. You got folks out there that don't even own a TV. You got brothers and sisters that don't have a cell phone. You got brothers and sisters that not only do they not have a computer, but they don't even know how to operate one, even if they had one. So we have this little control group here of people that we are talking to about this thing that now has the power to do something about it on a much larger scale and from a whole different angle, opposed to, because see, on an average day, I talk to people all day long, and they are discharging their debts, and they're working their little cases and stuff, and this is fantastic, and they're doing a wonderful job, but we got hundreds of thousands, not millions, of other people that have don't even have a clue about this stuff. And I know this because I talk to these people every day. We have them coming in. They're coming in several a day. You know, I didn't know nothing about this. I didn't, you know, I had no idea. And so what about these people who haven't come yet? What can we put together to be able to reach these people? So here's an excellent opportunity involving your grand jury, and I just want to run that information so that we can know what we got cut out for us so we can get down with this thing. If you are on Facebook, send me a friend request to Amana Bey. That's A-M-A-A-N-A and then B-E-Y, and I will grant you friend request that will give you access to my wall and the other information that will be coming out. As we move through the summer months and into the winter months, we will be opening up our wealth class, but this time we're going to have not only on the line, but we're going to do this thing from audio and video so you can actually see us put this stuff on the board, and so you can copy it and actually get busy on doing and making the investments and using your strategies and all of this stuff. Also, there are other things that are in the mix that will be coming up here shortly. Very shortly, there'll be some more things coming up involving getting this information out and interviewing the heavyweights, the people that's out there on the front lines and doing some things for us so that we can spread this information on out. Also, we will be coming back after Thursday, we'll be dealing, I'm not sure exactly what day, but we're going to be dealing with astrological and astronomy and all of that good stuff. And also, we're going to be dealing with finances and investments, okay? So y'all make sure y'all check regularly with Morris Talk Live 100, because we're on the roll. We're going back to back, trying to get out as much information as we possibly can. Okay. If anybody got questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, open up the line, so that you can get in. Okay. Now we're gonna go over here now back to the trust. We're going to deal with the common law trust. Okay. We're gonna deal with common law, and when you begin to work on this common law trust, we want to, first of all, once again, look up the definition of the word common law. Learn what it means when somebody says common law. Look, get that first, because we got a lot of brothers and sisters. They're doing some wonderful thing with trust and trust law. They have taken the time to study this stuff. They got it down to a science, but they are one person. And what I'm encouraging everybody to do, because see, what we do here with the segments that I do, I'm not so much interested in you just discharging your debt. Okay, I've been there, done that. I started out, I did the light bill, did the gas company, done a few little other little creditors and stuff of this nature, with the same little easy system. But I found out when I exposed that to some people, they were fantastic at it. But then outside of that, they didn't know nothing. So now what we do is not only do we include this, but we also include reading, writing, and arithmetic, going through the motions. You know, we got brothers and sisters in the past, they saw me, they heard about me exercising the freedom of right to travel. And what they did when they saw that, well, the first thing they said, well, I'm going to go do the same thing. Ain't read nothing, didn't investigate nothing, didn't study nothing, got out there on the pavement and went to jail. So we want to make sure that this don't happen again, because there's more to it. So you got to learn this stuff. You want to study, have it in your head, and then you want to execute it, okay, once you learn it. But learning comes first. We got to get away from this thing where we see somebody doing something, and then we turn around and want to do the same thing, but that's all we know. No, it doesn't go that way. We need to read. Understand. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. You got to get this system down, and you will pick up a whole lot of other information as you go along that you can use in other different situations. Okay, you can walk in the courtroom. You don't have to if you go in there, right? Because I don't go in there. But if you find yourself in there, you got something to work with, because you know more than one thing. Okay, you know a whole lot because you have studied. If you're doing an investigation of trust law and you're looking up the words and stuff, and you master that, you got that down, but you're going to run into some other information that you're going to learn as you go along because you're reading, writing, and arithmetic, okay? And that is the strategy that we use in dealing with our people here at Morris Talk Live 100. It's easy for me to just do a segment on how to A for B or discharge a debt, okay, and show you how to draw it up and do that. Okay, after you do that, you got the debt done. Okay, then what? What else you know? The answer is nothing. Because a lot of people will take this one thing and they'll run with it, and then after they do that and accomplish that, they sit fine and pretty. They don't have to worry about that no more. So we can go on back to being dumb. No, we ain't having that over here. We're dealing with reading, writing, and arithmetic. You're going to learn something if you're around me. You're going to learn something. Because that's just my way of doing things. I've always been that way, and that's just my way.
This is Truth in the News, bringing you the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm your host, Max Freeman.
And I'm your co-host, Jane Smith.
Our top story tonight will shock you. Our legal system is a fraud. And it has been for many decades since 1938.
Can you explain more about this?
Everything in the court is done in commerce. That means that the courts only have jurisdiction over corporations because they use the Uniform Commercial Code, known as the UCC. Flesh and blood human beings are not corporations, so the court has no jurisdiction over us.
Then why are so many people in jail or have to pay fines?
The best way to explain this is by example. If you are stopped by a police officer for driving without a license, having no motor vehicle registration and having no insurance, then he will give you a ticket or citation, which is a contract that you must sign as a promise that you will appear in court.
Okay, go on.
When you go into the courthouse, the man behind the bench in most cases is not a judge. He is a magistrate. Magistrate is simply another name for administrator.
What? Do you mean that it is not really a judge passing judgment? How can they do this?
This is part of the deception. The first thing they do is to ask you if you are John Doe. They are trying to establish a connection between you and the person on the traffic ticket. In actuality, the person on the document is your strawman.
What is a strawman?
A strawman is a legal fiction or a corporation that looks like your name, but it is all capital letters. It is not you. You are a flesh and blood human being with the name John of the family Doe. Not John Doe, spelled with all capital letters. A person in legal terms is a corporation, not a flesh and blood human being. You thought you were a person, but you are not. You are a flesh and blood human being. Your strawman is the person.
I didn't know about this. Does everyone have a strawman?
If you were born since the early 1960s, then you have a strawman because you have a birth certificate because your parents applied for it when you were born. If you were born before the early 1960s, you should have a long-form birth record. However, if you made the mistake of applying for a birth certificate later instead of a copy of your long-form birth record, then you also have a strawman. It was done without your knowledge and without your consent, so in actuality, it was done unlawfully.
Wow. That makes me angry. I didn't know that I had been tricked into having a strawman.
We all should be angry because it is how our own government enslaved us. We were born into slavery and didn't even know it. We are all debt slaves, but that is a topic for another discussion about the money system.
Tell me more about the strawman.
If you look at your Social Security card or birth certificate, it has your name in all capital letters. This is true of your driver's license, your checkbook, your credit and debit cards, and every official document you have.
I never noticed that before. So you are saying that all these documents are showing my strawman and not me?
Correct.
I can't believe it. It has been under my nose my entire life and I never saw it.
That's the way they meant it to happen, right under our noses. Speaking of your driver's license, you were tricked into giving up your constitutional right to free travel when you signed the driver's license, because the driver's license is a contract that you are coerced into entering into with the state so that the state can tax you and to subject you to its laws. Title 18 of the U.S. Code, which is the higher federal law, defines a motor vehicle as a vehicle that is used for commerce. Lawfully, under the U.S. Code, you do not have to have a driver's license, registration or insurance for your car, since you are not conducting business on the highways. Under the Constitution and federal law, known as the UCC or U.S. Code, you have every lawful right to travel. However, under state laws, also called statutes, it is illegal to drive without a driver's license, registration and insurance.
You keep using the words legal and lawful. Is there a difference between what is legal or illegal and lawful and unlawful?
Yes. There is a difference. Something that is illegal by state statutory laws may still be lawful because common law permits it. The state tricks you into giving up your lawful common law, inalienable rights by getting you to sign a contract to abide by their statutory laws. That contract is the driver's license. This is why the state wants you to get a driver's license when you move to their state, so that they can subject you to their laws and tax you.
But if I don't have a driver's license, I am charged with a crime. How can I get away with driving without a license?
When you sign your name on the license or anything else, you should write without prejudice UCC 1-308 above your name. If you are getting a ticket from a police officer, also write under duress, because there is a man with a gun threatening to kidnap you and take you away if you do not comply. Any contract that is entered into under duress or without all the facts being made known is not valid and not enforceable.
What is UCC 1-308?
The UCC is the Uniform Commercial Code. It is the law that the courts follow. It is under maritime jurisdiction, not common law jurisdiction. The courts do not use common law anymore. Actually, common law has not been used in the courts of this country since 1938. The common law is in line with the Constitution, however the UCC is not. However, Section 1-308 of the UCC is the section containing the reservation of rights. If you invoke Section 1-308, then you are reserving your constitutional rights even if you are signing a document that takes them away. If you do not assert your rights, then you automatically lose them.
So, what is the real purpose behind us having a strawman and having a driver's license? Or should I say, our strawman having a driver's license?
Since the courts do not have jurisdiction over you as a flesh and blood human being, they have to do business through your strawman because business can only be done through corporations. You were deceived into thinking that you must be responsible for your strawman and deceived into thinking that you have to obey their rules so that the courts can have jurisdiction over you.
So if I go to traffic court, how do they get jurisdiction over me if they don't already have it?
They first get you to identify yourself as the strawman, but this is just a formality since they already assume that you are responsible for the strawman. Secondly, the judge or magistrate asks, do you understand the charges against you? The word understand in legalese means to stand under or agree to. In other words, by saying yes to that question means that you enter into a contract with the court to allow them to prosecute you, hence you give them jurisdiction over you.
So are you saying that if I say no when asked if I understand, then they can't prosecute me?
Yes. That is correct. Tell them that you do not wish contract with them and that they have no jurisdiction over you unless you consent, which you do not. At this point the judge will try to get you to enter a plea of innocent, guilty or no contest. You must refuse to enter a plea. If the judge tries to enter a plea in your behalf, even if that is a not guilty plea, you must object and tell the magistrate or judge that they are not allowed to practice law from the bench and that they do not have subject matter jurisdiction over you and that you do not permit them to enter a plea for you. Only you can enter a plea or your attorney can enter a plea on your behalf.
What is subject matter jurisdiction?
Subject matter jurisdiction is the authority of the court to hear and make a determination in a court action. If they prosecute you, then you can appeal to a higher court and argue that they did not have subject matter jurisdiction. According to the late Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist, 100% of the people that are in federal or state penitentiaries are there voluntarily.
What? Why would anyone go to jail voluntarily?
Most everyone who is in jail is there voluntarily because they did not assert their rights and did not challenge the court for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. Also, in order for the courts to prosecute you, they must also have documents from the prosecutor that state in detail what the charges are. These documents are called formal information or formal charges. Traffic court tries to use the citation that the police officer gave you as the charges, but it is only a statement from the witness. The ticket or citation that you signed is just a contract that you signed to promise to appear in court. The police officer is not a prosecutor. If there are no formal charges on file with the court clerk, then they cannot prosecute you unless you consent to it by saying that you understand or enter a plea.
So what happens then? Do I win my case?
If you didn't harm anyone and there is no corpus delicti or victim, then they won't pursue it and will dismiss the case. Remember that the cop is not a victim, he is a witness.
Wow. I wish I knew about this when I got a speeding ticket last year.
Lawyers and judges will never admit to any of this because they signed an agreement to not do anything to hurt their profession. Never get a lawyer to defend you against laws where there is no victim because the lawyer's first obligation is to the court and not to his client. Remember that the courts are offices of a corporation and corporations exist to make money.
Okay, there you have it. I've had situations where I have dealt with brothers and sisters, and I discovered that they would master certain things, but when it came to something else, they were lost. And I think back to my illustrious brother Malcolm X. For those of you who have watched the movie, Malcolm X said he took the dictionary and he looked up every word in there and learned the meaning of the words. And he went on to become a great speaker. And he was able to handle anything and talk totally intelligent because he knew. So it was up to the job of the United States to try to do as much as they can to quiet this brother here, because we haven't ran into this before. This is awesome. We have this in the colleges and universities, but this brother is dealing with this thing from a whole different angle. And this is the same type of basic modus operandi that we want to do. We want to look up the terminology and learn this stuff. There's a ton of information about trust right there on the internet. There's a ton of information right there on YouTube. But then eventually you are going to be faced with actually doing something with what you know. And that's when what you know comes into place. So your education, in my opinion, should not just be in a specialized circumstance. I think your education should be broad, touch on it all, going from point A to point B. Don't let anything slip by. If it's something that you don't understand, check it out. Do an investigation on it. If you run into something in there, if you're doing good with it and then information and you run into something else that you don't understand, look it up. Understand it. The rules and the laws and stuff that the attorneys are using, Black Law Dictionary, you want to study the information in there. You might want to set up an exercise for yourself twice a week or once a week if your time is limited, to just look up terminology involving law. Because inside the United States, everything operates on contract law. And so being that is the biggest thing that you're facing on a regular basis, you leave out your house, you get in your automobile. The only thing that you want to do is get from point A to point B in peace. But now you got to slow down in this area here. You got to watch out for this. You got to constantly call yourself free, but living under this cloud of something may happen. You could be riding along, minding your own business, enjoying the beautiful sunshine. I mean, it's beautiful out. You know, you're feeling good, and all of a sudden you look in your rearview mirror, here comes somebody with some light flashes. Now your day is about to be ruined. Whole beautiful day. You just come out of the house early in the morning. You had your whole day planned. It's in your mind. But now everything is being shot to you know where because of that. So what we want to do is we want to learn this stuff so that you truly can be free. So you can go anywhere you want to go and do and pretty much do what you want to do without anybody bothering you, okay, because you can defend yourself. And that is what these broadcasts are about for the most part. I try to put up as much information as I can on law. However, we have to go over to other things periodically. But I want you to continue to check the roster. If you can call me, and I'll let you know what's coming and what we're going to discuss. A lot of the information that we're putting out here is based on the calls and stuff that I get from brothers and sisters on a regular basis. And they ask me, a lot of them ask me be concerned about the same thing. So I go over this information again, and I invite them back so they can get it again from a broader perspective. We're going to take a little quick break, and we will be right back.
We'll be right back.
773. Tell me who you are. What's your question or comment? 773. Come on in. 773. You're on the air. Area code 832. Tell me who you are. What's your question?
This is Sister. Greetings. This is Sister Nura. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I hear you fine, Sister. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And you?
I'm good. I just had a question because I told you I was going to listen to your show tonight, but I listened and watched your Right to Travel video. It's not like on YouTube. I think it's on your Facebook. I had a question that, you know, after you do all your administrative stuff and you're ready to go, I mean, you're driving and everything, but that was, like, if something did happen, you would sue the sheriff on a personal level, but what if you're traveling, how would that work when you travel out of town? Could you still do the same thing? If something happens, then you wouldn't have anybody that you can sue on a personal level. You know what I'm saying?
Really? You think so?
How would you do that? That's what I'm saying. How the process that
This is the process that I use. We'll do this in the whole one, too. First of all, before I ever get out on the road to exercise in the rights to travel, I'll learn everything about it. The second thing I will do is I will prepare all the documentation that I'll need. I'll create me a license plate if I don't order one, because we're not, it doesn't have to be anything elaborate because you all already have the right to travel. The next thing I will do, I will put my city officials on notice this way. I'll send them an affidavit, and along with this affidavit will be a photograph of the vehicle. There'll be a photograph of the plates. There'll be a photograph of the location. There'll be a photograph of the actual manufacturer of the vehicle. And then I will add information in regards to my state and that the fact that I'm exercising my freedom of right to travel. But I'm reserving all of my rights to seek compensation in damages if I'm detained, if I'm handcuffed, if I'm incarcerated. That's right there on the local level. And I'll do the same thing if I plan on traveling across the state. I'll get the vehicle deregistered, okay, because we're getting totally free, and that is within the confines of the city. Now, when it comes to you traveling across to the land, you want to make sure that you do the same thing. If you're going to, let's say we're going to go to from Jacksonville, Florida to, we'll say, Texas. We're going to Houston, Texas. But what I would do is, I got a map. I see all the cities and towns and what have you. I'll put a merch, serve them, and then I will send copies of the information to the Secretary of State and put them on notice of the fact of what I'm about to do through these particular states, reserving the right to sue each and every one of them if my right to travel is interfered with. I already got the documentation set up for the city in which I live, but if I plan on going abroad, I simply make copies of what I got and send it where it needs to be, and then get out on the pavement and go where I got to go. Now, the most important part of all of this is personal responsibility. Just because I'm able to do this, that doesn't give me the right to drive recklessly, to endanger anybody's life, to drive over the speed limit just because I have the right to do that. You want to act as responsibly as you possibly can, because you're taking personal responsibility for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that?
So, yes, I understand that. So you would have to send out for, like, on a just on the city level, say, like, if you were going from here, like you said, to Houston, like, what about all the cities in between that you go through? So wouldn't it be better just to do it on a state level?
That's what I just said. I'm not gonna be printing out damn any materials. I'm gonna do it on the state level, and I'm gonna deal with the governors of those states.
Okay.
He got a telephone too.
All right. Now I got another question.
Uh-oh.
This
ain't gonna hurt, is it?
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. What is it?
No. I heard you mention the cancel contract. So, when you cancel a contract with the Department of Motor Vehicles, what do? Won't they suspend your? If you do have a driver's license, won't they just suspend your driver's license?
I certainly hope so.
Okay. So how would that work? So that you won't get picked up. It's basically the same thing that you told me already.
Well,
with the right.
If you got, when you go to the driver's license place to get a driver's license, and you're standing in line waiting to get up there, you take a number and you sit down and you're waiting on them to call you. What you're doing is you're standing in line or you are waiting on them to call you so you can exchange a right for a privilege that you have to pay for. See, you already got a right to travel, so why would you get somebody else's permission in the form of a driver's license, and they're going to give you that thing, and that is property of the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them total control of your ability to move from point A to point B, but the Supreme Court has already ruled that you don't need anybody's permission. You already can go outside and play. You don't need to ask nobody whether or not you can go outside and play. You just go out there. You ain't driving anyway. Do you have a car?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, now, you ever go to the grocery store?
Yeah, I'm just traveling. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Did anybody send you a check
when you come back from that grocery store?
No.
All right, then. What do you need with a driver's license? You don't need nobody's permission to do something you got a right to do.
Right. Yeah, I was just asking because it's like I want to cancel a contract, but see, I already had like a driver's license and all that. And what I'm trying to do is get out of that because I know I do have a right to travel. But you answered my question. Then I wanted to ask about the jury, the grand jury, being a part of the grand jury. So what did you want us to do so far? Just kind of wait on,
all you have to do is give me a call at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I take your name and your email address, and after I get a certain amount of names, not many, and then I will contact the other folks for the other information or forward your information over there, and they can get you all hooked up. And once I get it all, and I'll be able to do it right here, and I won't have to bother them. I'll be able to do everything from here. But right now I'm just concentrating on, once again, because I've already attempted to do this once before, and
mm-hmm.
I was unable to do it. So now I'm going to do it again and gather the people, and then we will take it from there. But I need you to call me, and when you call me, then we'll take it from there.
Well, I did. You got my appellation and information. I was just wondering what will be the next steps, but you haven't gotten that far yet. So I'll just wait on that. And then one more question, if you don't mind.
Okay.
It's about licensing again. So
okay,
it will be
no
different.
Problem.
Okay. It will be different, though. You would still need a license, though. Like I said, if you want to do vending, because you're dealing in commerce then, or do we need that? Oh, we don't need that either.
Well, if you are driving for a living, then you want to get a driver license because you're operating in commerce. They have too many things that they can use to say, oh, no, you're somebody, we caught you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are making a living or if you're operating in commerce, go ahead and get a driver's license, save yourself a headache.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're not driving, say if you have a mobile cafe and you want to serve food, then you would need one, right? A license.
Yeah.
You're not driving.
Because
we're dealing in commerce, so we would get a license for something like that.
Yeah, if you're driving into a location, if you're gonna be staying at that location permanently, you'll need one when you are carrying your vehicle there to be placed. And if you're leaving the vehicle and going back and forth and opening up that business, then you won't need one if you're in your car, because you're not being paid to drive. You're not operating in commerce. You're traveling.
Oh,
but if you have a mobile unit and you're taking that mobile unit to one, we'll say you go to one factory, or if you're going to a warehouse and you're setting up shop and the people are buying your lunch and then you move from there and go to another company, you're operating in commerce.
All right. What if you're not doing that? What if you just have a food trailer and it's like on your own property?
Okay. Well, is the trailer moving?
No, it's just sitting there. So I won't need a license then, right?
No. No, you won't need driver's license.
I would need a vending license, though, right?
Well, yeah. You want to do all that if you're operating in commerce. You want to get all the appropriate documents, but if you're not operating in commerce when it comes, yeah, okay.
All right, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I'm gonna stay on the line and listen to the end of the show, and I'm looking forward to being a part of the grand jury. So I'm all in. And thank you
all
for
answering
my questions, and peace and love, brother.
All right. Peace and love. I certainly appreciate you calling in. All right. Moses, if anybody got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. I will open up the line, and before we get down into some more of this information, because we've got some more information to bring, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will open up the line so that you can get in, okay?
During a natural disaster or an economic collapse, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I prepared? Do I have everything that I need to survive and to protect my family? In order to gather this information and have it ready and available so that you can prepare now, go to www.newdebtelimination.com. That's newdebtelimination.com. Call me, Tahaka Amanuel Bay, for more details. Area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is vital for us to prepare ourselves for whatever happened. There are many people across the country that weren't prepared when the time came. Don't let that happen to you. Go to www.newdebtelimination.com. Contact me, Tahaka Amanuel Bay, 904-303-9061, before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, area code 512. Tell me who you are. You're on the air. 512. Hello, 512. Are you there?
Greetings. Hi, this is Demetria. Peace.
Peace, sister. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay. Hi, I had a couple of questions, and I apologize because my computer actually cut off, so I couldn't hear some of the information in regards to dealing with dismissing your cases. One case in particular for myself, I'm also a mother of four boys, and unfortunately the oldest two have gotten in some trouble as far as trafficking is concerned, traffic tickets are concerned. My thing with them is because they've gotten in trouble, and we live in Texas, so there's three different counties that they've gotten tickets in, The tickets are well over $1,000. They've already gone back and forth to court trying to dismiss the ticket or do community service. Are they at a point where it's too late for them to fight these tickets and have them dismissed?
Well, actually, no. But you're going to have some knowledge to fight them with. Now, how old are the tickets?
They're within the past 12 months for both of them.
All right. Well, it's a three-day rule. However, I would try it anyway. I will take them and refuse contract on them and attach a certificate of service to them. Now, this is what I would do, and send it on down there on the affidavit, but I will also serve the sheriff in each one of these counties and put somebody on the burner and tell them no more stopping me. And then I would are you married?
No, sir.
Okay. And how old are the boys?
The oldest is 22, and then the other one is 20.
You're going to have to step their own estates. Okay. Do you have any more children under 18?
I have one under 18. He's actually 17. The other one is 18.
Okay. All right. Well, I will set up my estate, and I'll include him in there and protect him before we go through that. But I would also either do my trust and file that into the court, and either I would do a will. And the vehicles and stuff that these guys are driving, what I would do is I'll get them to deregister this thing and get them on a no-stop list and to stop any future problems without repercussions. And at the same time, I will go and see if I can no contract on the rest and force them into a position to prove to me that they got a case, even if I had to get the police on the stand to determine whether or not he's competent. There are things that you can do, but it boils down to what I was telling you, everybody at the outset. You want to learn this stuff. Once you learn this from every conceivable angle, instead of just learning about your freedom of right to travel, you want not only want to learn that, but you want to learn about everything else so that you will have power to operate in any arena, no matter what comes up. But if you would like to get started on that, you can go to my website, newdebtelimination.com. Click on the little donation link up top. If you go there, you see my master library. You can get that. And you can give me a call, and I can point out how to put this thing together and start actually doing something about it.
Perfect. Thank you. One other question, and like I said, I apologize. My computer shut down, and I missed a whole bunch of the first part of this conversation.
You can always go back and listen to it.
Okay.
Archive.
Okay.
Once we do this show here, you can go back and listen to the whole thing.
Okay, perfect. One other question in regards to me. So I received a traffic ticket. It must have been, I'm going to say within the past 6 months, completely forgot about this ticket. It was 11 o'clock at night. There were 18-wheelers everywhere, and out of nowhere, the police officer came and stopped me and said, I was speeding. I was going 70. I had three children in the car with me. He threatened to arrest one of them being my 17-year-old son sitting in the back seat, threatened to arrest him because he didn't have his seatbelt on in the back seat, but then told me that I was going 70 and he would drop it down to, I think the speed limit was 60, and he dropped it down to 68, say. But I never appeared in court because I completely forgot about it and just recently received information about this ticket. Can I follow the same rule in regards to the information you provided?
Yeah, okay. You call me tomorrow to exactly what to do about that and get that done, because you're in what's called a hearsay situation. It's just hearsay.
Okay.
And,
okay.
But if you don't do anything about it, then they'll ring it on out.
Okay. I will definitely give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, sister. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Area code 518. Tell me who you are. What's your question?
Greetings. My name is Mother Lachelle, and I'm out of Albany.
Sister.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
My question is, I got a ticket driving my cousin's car someone the next. I got pulled over by a state trooper, and it's the reason why she pulled me over because there were some papers, the registration, whatever, paperwork was not on the car. She didn't. So I went to court, and oddly enough, we
Your phone seems like it's breaking up, sister.
Oh.
Sound like your phone is breaking up. Yeah, I hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, I hear you real good now.
Okay, I was saying that I got pulled over by a state trooper. This is like probably like 2 years ago now. But the thing is that I got pulled over in a car that I was driving, my cousin's car. She thought she had papers, her registration paper, whatever, changed, but it didn't get changed over. So long story short, she pulled me over. I got a ticket. She told me why. Well, she broke me up. She told me why. And I ended up going to court, and I paid I forgot what they called it, a reduced charge. But I was trying to explain to them, listen, I wasn't aware of this paperwork was not correct. I was informed that it was, et cetera, et cetera, so forth. The thing is, I end up signing up on something, and I paid my ticket or the ticket that I was issued. And so what I want to do is I want to go back and can I, like, get that changed? Because I tried to I wasn't sure what to say other than the fact that I was not aware that it was on there. I didn't realize the tickets had not been updated. It wasn't my vehicle. It wasn't my name, et cetera, et cetera, and so forth. And I just didn't want to sign off on a lower charge because I realized they was just trying to get money. Can I get that corrected?
Okay, so you want to go back and get your money back?
Yes, I do.
That's what you're saying. Okay. Well, yes, you can. But you got to be highly skilled because what you're about to do is try to take teeth out of a hen's mouth. He ain't got none. So what I do in that situation is I leave that alone and make sure that they don't get me again.
All right.
I'm not saying that you can't do it. There's a way to do it. You had to learn it.
Okay. I'm not so much concerned about the money that I paid as the fact that they I signed up for something that I wasn't really in agreement with, and I was not clear on the being able to sign under duress and make that whatever null and void. I just want that, you know, just taken off. Because
okay, well, there's a way to get that taken off. All you got to do is get you some documentation together. If you don't have my archives, the information in there, the templates are in there, the affidavits are there, and you can we can put this stuff together and we can serve it on them and force them to respond. If they don't, we can exhaust the process on them and drag them on in there and roll over them. You can do it that way.
All right, so I got All right, my phone is acting up for some reason. You was just telling me to get all the documentation together and do what?
And then you can force them through a process. I'm going to be dealing with that. I won't deal with it tonight, but I'm going to bring some information out tomorrow night on the process, a process that I use. It'll be on tomorrow night. But if you like, you can call me at 904-303-9061 tomorrow before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we can get to work on it. All right, you're welcome.
All right.
All right, Sue. Okay, Erica, 336. Your time. Are you there?
Peace.
Yeah. Let me have it.
Peace. Peace and blessings. This is Dwayne Hemingway L. calling at High Point, North Carolina.
All right, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, I was just wondering, I didn't know if you were looking for anyone to speak of certain suggestions, you know, because I don't have a whole lot of questions, but I have some, I believe, is remedy that I actually went through myself.
All right. Well, tell us what you did.
Well, first of all, we were here in High Point, and we were dealing with the housing market, dealing with foreclosure properties. Everything is sweet. I have a couple of properties here. But we were getting constantly harassed for the driving thing, driving and all this and that. You know, well, we were traveling, but they said we were driving. We're going back and forth with several individuals here. So just constant harassment and constant. We didn't have the knowledge that we have now, you know, to do certain things. But what I went and did, personally, I'm not suggesting everyone does do this, but I did it. I went and put a $800 million lien on the head district attorney here in Guilford County, North Carolina. And they completely shut him down.
I love that. I love
Yeah, they completely shut him down. But check this out, right? So they came September 5th, 2012, they came to the house early one morning to come and get me. Now, they locked me up under some false charges. They needed to get me out of the way because we were scheduled to go to court for a mediated settlement conference November 6th. So, in their courthouse. So, I asked for a change of venue. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going out for this money. So, he was like, he said, so they locked me up, gave me a $1 million bond. But how I got my bond down on my first appearance, this was a Friday. That Monday, I went on the first appearance. So I got my bond down from $1 million to $150,000 by quoting the Eighth Amendment on for the record, right? And this is over television and all that. So now they were trying to hold court. They were sending the paperwork home to me, to my house, you know what I'm saying, to my abode. They were sending it here like I was home and not kidnapped in their jail.
Okay.
So they tried to give me a failure to appear. So I had a friend of mine go and put a lien on the courthouse. So we shut down Superior Court for 4 months. So they finally released me. Then they had to come because when they went to court that Monday, I told my wife and daughter to go to the courthouse because it's two different jails. You know what I'm saying? Different city. The headquarters in Greensboro, and we're in High Point under the same county, but two courthouses. So I'm in the High Point jail. And told my wife, I said, I know they're not going to bring me to court, but I need you and Gina to go to court. So I forgot that months ago I put a lien on their court, like four courtrooms. They have eight, but I didn't know how many amount. You know what I'm saying? So I got those courtrooms are still shut down. So, put a $1 billion lien on the clerk of court.
Okay.
And that's still pending. And so, they tried to give me 90 days for a violation of gatekeeper order because they're sending me information, right, and I'm not supposed to respond. So, I sent the affidavit of truth then, you know, and I was getting ready to hit them with I hit him with affidavit of truth. So he sent me this affidavit. So they had the dude from the attorney general's office come to me, come and try to go against me or whatever, suing me or whatever, said I violated gatekeeper order because I put in the affidavit of truth. So he said, we're going to give him 90 days, some BS. Uh-huh. So we go to court. I go to court over there in Greensboro. So when they call, they trying to dance around and not deal with me. Well, let me back up a little bit. But when they went to court, they tried to dismiss the liens because they had me in jail, and they gave my wife and daughter the runaround. Okay? They gave them the runaround. So I wrote to the registered deeds attorney, and he said I'll hold it for 18 months. So they had to release me because they couldn't deal with it because I had everything. Okay. He couldn't do nothing but cut grass on his property. He couldn't cut a tree. He couldn't sell. How he found out is that he was trying to get a second mortgage on his business property, and his lawyer told him he was granted the loan, but he has a lien on him. He couldn't even drive his car. He couldn't enter the building unless he was coming to do business, not in his capacity as the attorney over there, you know, the head attorney for the county. District attorney. So he, so this dude. So I'm gonna jump back ahead. Now he did that. Now he couldn't. He had. So they basically had to let me go to try to deal with this. So when they called, they danced around and they called me up there, and I said, "Well, I'm a party to this." And he said, "So the judge said, looking down on his table with his glasses over his nose, looking over his glasses." Well, the justice magistrate, he ain't no judge, like you said. He said, so you're Dwayne Hemingway L. I said, excuse me, sir, for the record, I'm a Moorish American. Moors have titles, Christians have names. And you know what he said? He asked the dude from the Attorney General's office, what should he do now? And honest to God, he said, what should I do? So now they're telling me I need an attorney. I said, I don't need an attorney for what? I'm not party to this. I said, this is a scam, a sham. I'm not a party to this. So he said, well, you need an attorney. We're going to appoint Maddox, you know what I'm saying, because they couldn't do nothing. So I called the attorney that they tried to appoint me to, and he's a big dude here, Maddox. And I said, I don't need your services. He said, well, if you don't want me, then put it in writing. Put it in writing, got it notarized, and sent it to him. But when I get back to court the second time, his secretary is there to try to say that he has a back problem and they need to continue it. He couldn't be there. I said, no, I'm here. I don't need an attorney. I don't wrote the letter. Here goes a copy, boo, boo, boo. Oh, just wait for your attorney to come. Nobody really wants to deal with it. So when it all boiled down, we went to court 5 times. Now, they never dealt with it because I never gave him jurisdiction. So they had the judge, the lawyer, to mediate basically a local immunity letter, and we filed it in the court, and I have a copy of it. That I wouldn't file any liens against any of the county employees, and they will not harass me, and they will allow me to exercise my rights. But they said for said purposes. Go ahead.
You're doing fantastic, skating on the borderline of assassination. But
but you know, you gotta understand. I mean, I'm not afraid if I have to. And the thing about it, they truly respect me though. These police officers or whatever, your policy officers, you know, they don't even, because I still don't operate with a license. I don't have a driver's license. I've been at High Point since 2006. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, if you got a trust, you can also, just to keep the headaches, because I know some people scared with dealing with police and things like that, and I have a wife who's not built like this. You know what I'm saying? She's a real country girl. I'm from New Jersey originally. And so by having a trust, you know you can register your vehicle under your car under trust without having a driver's license.
Well, I'm going to get to that in the broadcast, but go ahead.
Okay, but I'm just saying I've done it already, you know what I'm saying? And, I've done it, and totally. My wife has a trust, it's Earth Asia International Express Trust, and that's her trust, and that's what the vehicle, we have one vehicle right now. I'm about to purchase another one, you know, but you can't do it if you already have a lien on it, because the trust is actually putting a lien on it. And I don't care what you get stopped for or anything, they shouldn't even stop you, you know what I'm saying, once they run the tag. And say that it's under trust because it's not under their jurisdiction anymore. Although you have their plate, you know, but it's not you that contract because your name is not on the document. You know, your name is not on the document. It's your trust name on the document. And you're not the trust. You're either the executor or the seller of it. So when I did, so we have ours in my home is under trust, under my trust. Majestic Ruler Express Trust, you know, and I took that away from Bank of America. No mortgage. I'm not trying to say what I've done will work for everybody, but you really have to believe in what you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm a true believer because I've been through some. I've been a state prison in New Jersey, Northern State. I've been a federal prison in Otisville, New York. And this is when I was introduced to the Moore Science Temple. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise. They said, Lord will put you in a place where you can do your best thinking. Because during that time, I was running wild. But I said, never again will I go to prison. So I had to learn. I got me, and the judge told me, a man that has a black law dictionary should not be in jail.
That's right.
And the judge's name is Shirley. She's deceased today. Her name is Shirley Tolentino out of Jersey City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just talking for experience, you know what I'm saying? I'm here dealing with experience and how you can, you know, because you don't give them, and just don't give them jurisdiction because now you have a title, and it's not just that you're a Moorish American. See, they assume jurisdiction because they assume to be the the executive. The magistrate assumes the executive position. The district attorney assumes the beneficiary, and they make you the trustee when it's all by birth because they are public servants. And all you have to do is ask them for the record. Are you a public servant? So you're the trustee. And I'm my title as executor and beneficiary. So how do you want to handle this? So anything that goes for the record, he or she will have to be dealt. They'll have to deal with it. Their own rules. You know, these are the things that I experience, you know what I'm saying, for myself. And don't you know they tried to offer me a job. They had the lawyer contact me again. He told me that he would help me go to law school. He said I'm like a peppercorn, this is the honest to God. He said I'm a peppercorn. He said I'm a peppercorn to the attorney. I said, what do you mean a peppercorn? He said that you know law, but you're not a lawyer. I said, well, I just have a black law dictionary. So, you know, playing dumb with him. He said, nah, man, I pulled your file and I pulled all your paperwork. He had a copy of everything because I have some federal lawsuits that I filed against the city for like $25 million in federal court that's still pending. So he's like, yeah, I've seen your work. He said, you need to come on our side just like that. I said, your side? He said, yeah, you need to come on our side. So he said, listen.
He was asking you if you'd be kind enough to become a chump.
He said, I can recommend you for Duke, Elon Law, Campbell University, and he named four in total. You know, and I just, you know, politely declined. I said, no, I'm okay. I said, I don't plan on being in your courts like that anymore. I said, I was just there because they harassed me. And now they're really upset that they did do that. You know, they're really upset. So they really don't want me in the courtroom. But I say that to say this. About a month ago, I did get stopped by a cop. He said I ran a red light. I mean, stop sign. And it was a state trooper. See, the local police, they're not going to bother me at all. But this state trooper, and he was from Guyana, because we started talking and everything later. But he's from Guyana. He's asking me, why don't you have a driver's license? He didn't even ask me for a license. He asked me for ID. So I gave him ID. I'm a disabled veteran. I gave him that card. I said, this is an identification card. He said, so you're Dwayne Wade? I said, no, that's what I'm known as. I said, but I'm a justice ruler, be your law. And he said, well, I don't have no record. And then on my paperwork that they have in their system here, it had, when they state your race, it has my race as white. So, yeah.
They can't get you one way, they're going to get you another.
Yeah, so he's taking the longest time trying to figure out what's going on. I'm like, why would you out here like this? He said, well, go over to the store. And then he said, why you don't have a license, man? I said, I don't want that contract. I said, I don't need that contract. I don't need that operation because you got to understand the city and county that you live in, they took liability. You know what I'm saying? They accept the liability. And they give you this license. But by them accepting the liability, they have clauses. Because technically, if you got in an accident, they would have to pay for it and compensate everyone. But that's why they make you get insurance. So they want, you know what I'm saying?
You called me, man. I got my switchboard lighting
up. I'm sorry for taking up your time, man, but
well, brother,
I'm sorry
to call me
your phone, but
I got to tell you off the record.
Yeah. But I'm out here. I'm outside with my chickens, man. But if you want, I can give you my number and you can contact me because I don't have a pen and paper. I got a little garden and I got 15 hens that I let free range in the evening.
I'm tied to the switchboard tomorrow. How about give me a call at 904-303-9061?
Okay, let me, I'm going to just go grab a pen, and can you just repeat that in like 30 seconds?
Yeah, just go ahead and call back in. Call back in and
I got a pen real quick.
904.
303. Okay.
9061. All right.
Yeah, and I love the line, brother. First time caller, first time listener. I appreciate it.
All right, my brother. Peace. Oh, boy. If you hold your enemies, hold your friends close, but hold your enemies closer. Area code 773. Tell me who you are, what's on your mind. 773. Come on in. Okay, no 773. So let me go on to the next one. 832.
Okay. It's my brother. Yeah, Sister Nur again. I had just had a simple question because the brother touched on trust. Is it a pretty lengthy process to set up a trust?
No, it's not hard at all. We have the templates of Red in my library. If you got that, you give me a call and I can point it out to you. It's got instructions and everything. And filling it out and hooking it up and putting your assets under the trust and all that. But the most important thing is to understand what it is and to learn what it is and learn the definition of the terminology. It's just like anything else. No, it's not
but
complicated.
It's in your archives, right?
Yeah. You got the common law trust up in there. Deed of trust is in there. All that's in there.
Okay, but it'll tell you how to set it up?
Yeah, if it don't, I will.
All right. I'll call you again.
All right, Susan. Eric Cole, 240. Come on in. 240, your time.
How you doing, Brother Tahaka? This is Daoud calling in from D.C.
Hey, Daoud, what's on your mind, brother?
How you doing? Long time.
I'm fine.
You have a good show. I appreciate everything that you're doing. And the brother that just got off talking, that was some powerful stuff right there. I kind of missed back and forth because I was dealing with my wife and everything, and I think I missed a little bit of this. I understand when you set up the – I have your asset. I bought the library last year. Is it still good? I purchased it last year. I haven't got a chance to get back to it.
Yeah, go ahead and send me your little donation ticket, and the automatic responder will forward it straight back over there to you.
Okay, I already purchased it already.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Just forward that back to me, and the automatic responder, because everything works on automatic now. Because I don't have time to do anything manually. People think I'd be operating manually.
Say,
I can't, because I'm dealing with half of America.
Oh, you say just forward the email back to you?
Yeah, forward it back to me.
Okay, when the brother was talking about a lien, when he put the lien on the courts, did he do it through the UCC or he put the lien on through the trust or
a lien? You can do a few documents and first thing you want to do whatever it is that you're dealing with. If you are dealing with a person, you want to do a little research on them, find out who they are and what assets they got, and draw up the paperwork and file the lien on them. That's your lawsuit. Put that on them.
I'm sorry, Barsha Hawk. I thought that you had to do administrative process first before you could put a lien on somebody.
Well, no. Administrative process is a whole different ballgame. I'm gonna deal with that tomorrow night. That's just a process. That doesn't have anything to do with the actual lien if you're going to put a lien on somebody. Now, the brother, he went at this thing and he did some fantastic work. And I could have did the same thing if I wanted to. However, what I did was I just dealt with this thing from a whole different perspective. I wanted to find out who was in charge of all the police that were doing all the stopping. Because I feel like if he's giving out orders, then put his you-know-what in a vice, then I ain't got no problem with the rest.
And when I did that, I discovered that there was no more problem. We was able to get that solved.
Wow. That's excellent right there.
Like, you got another question, brother?
One more question, then I'm going to get off. Like if somebody had a garnishment on you, they're doing a legal garnishment, you can turn around and do that lien on them?
Well, I'll tell you what you do. Call me tomorrow, man, 904-303-9061. I'll tell you how to deal with that.
Okay, I got your number, Buster Hopper.
All right, give me a call tomorrow.
I have your program in my phone. Okay, brother, take care.
All right, brother. Area code 832.
Hey, how you doing, Taraka? This is I'm calling from Houston over here. I just had a question. I was trying to find out, because I've called you before. You told me to like download your library, but you know, not only do I want to do that, but I also want like other people here in this area that I can communicate with instead of just, you know, going to read. I want to go to like meetings or, you know, some people here that I can talk to and learn more instead of just, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all, with people in your area in Houston, what I try to recommend people do, if they would go to the Moorish American website, which is www.moorishamericangov.org, and there's the conference call number. Now, they have the Moors all over the United States. If you're in Houston, you can talk to the Grand National Chairman, tell him where you are and that you want to get in touch with other Moors that's in that government, and he will supply you with the phone numbers to these people, and you can call them, and y'all can interact with each other right there where you are. I'll be in Dallas,
okay.
Texas, within
mm-hmm.
the next week. And if you would call me by the 12th of this month, and you're right down the street in Houston. Where you live at in Houston?
Northwest side, Jersey Village, Northwest.
Okay, I lived on West Park in Gessner. How far is you away from that?
About 30 minutes. That's the southwest side. It's just straight down the Beltway.
All right. Now, I ain't never been to Dallas now, so when I get to Dallas, I don't know where I'm going to be at. So give me a call.
I used to live there when I was young. I live in North Dallas.
And, they're coming in from all over the United States, and I'll meet them down there. And we're going to have a big powwow down there, and I'll be dealing with finances and law and contract law and all that old stuff there. So I like to see.
What day is the 12th on?
Oh, God.
Is that going to be a weekend?
I'm actually sitting here in the dark on the radio. You're talking about a date? Man, look
all right,
it
so
up.
Your number is
904-303-9061.
Okay.
All right.
All right, appreciate you, man.
Okay, my brother.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Mo, we coming back. We're going to get down into this common law trust in a minute, and but you all hold on for one more minute. I'm going to take a little quick break so I can go cut on the light over here because it's dark in here. When it comes to child support, many brothers and sisters just come to the conclusion that I'm just done. There is nothing I can do. They got me. Well, what we need to understand is this whole system is bogus, believe it or not. And for proof of that, why don't you send for my free articles? We'll also send one good audio clip and one good solid video clip to you. And by the time you listen to this and read this, you will clearly understand that there is a way out. You can send that to taraka53@hotmail.com. That's taraka53@hotmail.com, and I'll rush that right straight to you. Don't hesitate to visit my website, www.newdebtelimination.com. For information on us, go to www.newdebtelimination.net. Don't hesitate to call me, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's not over.
is just what you know. Peace.
A little information from this trust straight out of our archives, but I want to say that make the announcement that tomorrow night we're going to be dealing with what to do to stay out the court. We want to deal with that situation tomorrow night, and then whatever you do, don't miss Thursday night's broadcast, because this is very important. This is some very, very up-to-date information on where we are now economically, socially, natural disasters, all of this stuff, where we are now. What's on our plate? What is the future for tomorrow right around the corner? We're going to deal with that. So make sure that you're here tomorrow night, and mind you, Thursday night for these broadcasts. keep in mind that if you're on Facebook, if you have an account on Facebook, send a friend request to Amana Bey, A-M-A-A-N-A, and then B-E-Y. I'll grant that friend request. That'll give you access to my wall. And on the wall, I place all of the upcoming broadcasts that are going to be broadcasted on these shows. And you are able to go there and click on them and see what it's about and get your questions ready to be answered or what have you. But you can take and send this on over to your own wall as a reminder and all these things. Also, at the bottom of my advertising and all the groups that we have, and you can go ahead and join these groups. You go to these groups because I check them every day, and I admit people into joining these groups. And there's a ton of good information that's coming in from other brothers and sisters all across the country. They put some tremendous stuff in there. And you have access to that as well. It's all about getting information out. Coming up within the next couple of months, we're going to be doing a series of videos. These videos will be posted on my wall on Facebook and other places, but they will also go on to YouTube. You can just type my name in, Tahaka, in the YouTube, and my videos and stuff will come up, and you can go over this stuff and see the actual documents that I'm presenting. We're going to be going with a series of other documents so you can see how this stuff is written up and we can explain this to you so you can have another edge on this situation. So before we go straight into that document, I'm going to run this information here so that you all can get that. It's only going to be a little while, a little bit of information, and then we're going to go into the rest of the broadcast, okay? So y'all just sit tight and ready to go.
The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he can't believe it exists.
The law is whatever the powers that be in power happen to say it is today. Whatever they say it is, that's what the law is today. And it may change tomorrow.
As people started to live together in societies, there was nothing to prevent individuals from infringing upon the rights and freedoms of each other. Once that happened, there were only two choices. Either protect ourselves, or elect a group of individuals to protect our rights for us. We chose the latter, and thus, law was born to protect our rights and freedoms.
We have no law in America, and understand that there is a Roman maximum in law that says, for he that would be deceived, let him. Simply meaning, if you are so ignorant as to be deceived, then that's your business, that's your problem. So you need to do your homework and find out what words mean, especially in relation to law and government. Because there is a world of occultism that is operating today throughout the world in which you use certain words, and when those words are used in a court, they don't mean the same thing at all.
Jordan Maxwell speaks about words. Words are definitely his forte. He also speaks about where words come from.
Understanding law and the words of law, there are two things that this planet has: water and earth, water and land. Consequently, there are two kinds of law, the law of the land and the law of water. You've heard the term law of the land, but in point of fact, that's precisely what this word means, law of the land, because it is the people who live on land. And that is opposed to something else called the law of the high seas, or the law of water. You need to understand the difference. The law of the land is the law of the culture that lives on the land. And so consequently, the law of the land is different in every country. You can do things in America you can't do in Russia. You can do things in Africa you can't do in England. So the law of the land is the law of the culture that lives on that particular land. However, there is a higher law that dominates the entire world. It's called the law of the water, or the law of the high seas. The law of water is referred to as the law of money. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, or where you live. Money is money. And anytime you're doing banking or using money, you are now under the law of water, maritime admiralty.
In the film, The Occult World of Commerce, Jordan Maxwell and Jason Whitney give a great overview explaining in depth the important differences between the two law systems, how they were merged, and how this affects how we live today. Countries' laws end at the borders of their land. It's also known as common law, the law of the common people. The proper English common law was originally based on the Ten Commandments section of the Old Testament of the Christian Bible, but it's also considered to be common sense law. The common law that's developed over time has but one purpose. That sole purpose is to protect our fundamental rights and freedoms of life, liberty, and property. The purpose of law was never to restrict or destroy our rights and freedoms. Its sole purpose, then and now, is for the preservation and protection of these goods.
There are two different kinds of law. There is civil law, which is the law of the land, and there is UCC, which is maritime law. UCC stands for Uniformed Commercial Code, which was created thousands of years ago by the Phoenician Canaanites.
Marine law, or the law of water, is the law of money, or currency. It is the law that governs all money in the world, and is the same type of law in every country with a central bank. It is also known as commercial law, covering all forms of commerce. You may not have heard of the Uniform Commercial Code, or the UCC, but it is the foundation of how all modern financial transactions are handled. And while very complex, understanding it gives a great insight as to how the banking game is played.
The entities who created this system understood that they could not control you, the flesh and blood you, but if they turned you into a corporation under the UCC law, then they would effectively be able to have that control.
Because the government created a situation when we're in perpetual debt, but that is unlawful. So they also gave us a remedy, a solution to fix it, but they hid it from us.
Whenever we're dealing in a business, then you, all countries and all corporations, work under UCC.
Throughout history, law has been corrupted and used in many ways it was never intended to be used. Laws have also been created to control and enslave people for the sole benefit of those in power. Before the implementation of marine law, which was layered to exist over our already existing common law, in the United States of America, people were called sovereigns. That is, you were your own country. You were considered a soul created by God, and you were born and owned your own body. Instead of a first and a last name, like you have today, you had what was called a Christian and family name. Not only did you own your own body, but you were completely responsible for it. You could use any substance you wished to your own benefit or peril. If two men consented to having a gunfight in the streets, to the death, it was their right as long as it was consensual. The sheriff would stand by to make sure no innocents got injured in what was a perfectly legal duel. Self-responsibility was the order of the day, which was either a blessing or a curse to the people. Common law ruled the land. Treat others the way you want to be treated. The real golden rule. Now, under common law, all interactions with your fellow man were and are some form of contract and consent. There were fewer layers of law in existence before the merging of common and marine law. And so, for example, there was no such thing as fraud, because as a sovereign who was personally responsible, at any time you could have said no. People had to be more diligent in who they dealt with, and thus, as reputation was actually considered important, people would try and honor their contracts, and earn an honest living, using the court system only for criminal prosecutions or contract disputes. Simpler times back then indeed, but also more primitive as well. Perhaps we're learning to say no again.
And if you look at the whole entire picture, the government is only your representative and representatives of your neighbors. So who are they to demand that you get a license in order to engage in an action which is fundamentally lawful?
If we don't make a stand, I mean, the reason that these guys have the power they have is because we don't say anything. It's this whole tacit agreement thing. And, you know, because we didn't stand up and make claims to stop the authorities from doing what they do, they've just sort of taken over. And so we're all running scared because we don't realize that all we have to do is stand up.
To understand there's legal and lawful, and there's illegal and unlawful. Legal means you are operating correctly by the form or by the letter of the law. Lawfully tends to speak to the spirit of the law as opposed to the letter of the law.
Okay, we back. Let us deal with this common law trust. Now, this document is also in Tahaka's archive. It simply states, common law trust, indenture articles of organization, bylaws. Anything in your trust, anything that is you don't deem necessary to go in your trust should not be put in there. But what I would recommend is that you look over a full structured trust before ever attempting to put one together, and you want to make sure that when you do this, you do it right. Now, all of the assets that you own, your house, your car, your boat, whatever it is that you own can be added to that trust. You can set up your estate. You can include your children, your property. If you are married, your wife and children are listed as your property unless the child is 18 years old or older. Now, if they're younger than that and they have gotten married, then they're going to set their own trust. This trust states that set their own estate. This indenture agreement made this day serves as a declaration of irrevocable trust and shall continue for a term of 25 years. That amount of time is totally up to you. From this day between your name, herein known as settler and party of the first part, and I, so-and-so trustee, herein known as the first trustee or trustee party of the second part under the name such-and-such a trust, with this contract, the parties intend to create a pure trust organization for the benefit of the trust certificate unit holder and to identify, accumulate, purchase, and hold any assets that become available and to provide prudent administration and distribution system administered by legal persons acting in a fiduciary capacity. Witnesses, whereas the settler is irrevocable, assigned, and conveyed and trustee in the trust, specific properties as defined in the minute 01-0001, attached to this document in exchange for 100 units of beneficial interest known hereto as trust certificate, TCUs, to be held with this indenture by the trustees for beneficiaries, also known as members of the such and such a trust. And this trust goes on. The thing you want to do is you want to look at an existing trust. And what I recommend that you do is study a full trust, one that has a whole lot of stuff in it that you may not even have, but that will let you know how a trust is constructed and how you can create your trust, how you can expand your trust. Basic foundation of what you're attempting to do is to establish one. And you cannot establish one without knowing about one, or at least what one looks like. And if you know that, then you're able to deal with that. I keep dealing with the ABCs of this situation because I want you to understand that when you're talking about doing anything that you are unfamiliar with, you want to make sure that you at least have a blueprint to go by. That way you can do a whole lot of damage. You can set up your trust. You can set up your estate. You can set up a will. We went over that over and over and over again. And what I recommend that you do is listen to these broadcasts over and over so that you will know how to do what we are bringing out here this evening in this broadcast. We're dealing with trust. We're dealing with how to get your cold cases dismissed and all that good business too. And we're going to come back with some more of this stuff tomorrow from a different angle. But I'm going to need you to listen to this broadcast again. And when you listen to this broadcast or when you attend these broadcasts, make sure that you have paper and pencil handy so that you can write down anything that you don't understand. If you don't get a chance to raise your hand and ask questions, you can still get some understanding, okay? Because that's what we're here for, to make sure that you get it understood.
If people really understood what's going on, we're too used to the rights we've had. It wouldn't be tolerated. If people really truly understood what was going on, there would be a major political reaction, and the people that are in power right now would not be there. And they don't want to take the chance. And that's what people have to understand, that there still is this vestige of democracy here, and we still should be exercising it before the police state apparatus descends that doesn't really and truly remove from us the capacity to take control of our destiny.
The founding fathers of the United States desired people to have the right to life, liberty, and property, along with the free will to enjoy them and the responsibility to respect the rights of others. After fighting their revolution for freedom from colonialism, the founders were intelligent enough to retain a healthy fear of the similar threats posed by corporate power and wisely limited corporations exclusively to a business role. In the United States of America, up until around the mid to late 1800s, in order to create a company or corporation, you would have to go through the arduous process of earning a charter from a particular state, which was both limited in duration and function, needing to be renewed, but also subject to rules, regulations, and heavy taxes. They were also mandated to serve the public interest, with profit being the result to shareholders who were part of the public. If they exceeded their authority, went against their charter, or went against the public interest, a corporation's charter could be revoked, rendering it invalid, and essentially destroying it in the legal sense. The concept of corporate personhood came about around this time, which quickly gained popularity with business leaders. Discussed and dissected at length in the brilliant film The Corporation, corporate personhood is the act of giving a company, which is a legal corporation or entity, the privileges of a regular human person, such as the ability to own property, hold assets, contribute to politics, or influence legislation. With this change in the law, the corporation had gained legal status along with rights and duties, becoming an artificial person.
A sovereign individual is a human who is no longer a corporation, thus no longer being ascribed by certain duties and rights.
What I uncovered was that when a person is registered from birth, it's at that point in time that they are actually being created, or that a legal person is being created and associated with them. And it's kind of like it's at that point where you join a club. And when you join this club, you're given, say, a membership card. The card itself would be your person, as opposed to the human being who is the member of the club.
Person is, even in English, person is a persona. So it's not really you, it's something that you're creating. So, you know, from English to law, it means the same thing. It's an entity, something that you create or somebody else creates and you give power to. Because we're all equal, nobody has a right to govern you without your consent. So they require evidence that you have consented to this. The person is that evidence, that card or the, your identification, which would identify you as a person. All of this is what they need to see so that they know that they do have the right to act upon you. After the U.S. Civil War in 1868, a corporation was created by members of the Bank of England called United States Company. The owners of this company decided that the employees of the United States would not be called employees, but citizens. To run this corporation would be a board of directors called the United States Government, and they would have a president just like any company. It would also have a constitution, just like the Republic called America. And people who signed up to be employee citizens would be given political and legal rights, like voting and owning land.
I think they did it when they got everyone to become a government employee. And then this way, where normally they would be our servants and we would be in charge of them, they tricked us all into getting social insurance numbers. These numbers identify us as a government employee. We're receiving benefits, as they call them, and therefore we are bound by the rules that bind all government employees. And so they've tricked us. We're a nation of people employed by the government, bound by the rules that the government makes, but only because we are employed by them.
However, there is a grand distinction between the United States Corporation, which is a company, and the United States of America, which is the geographical location and country. Today we live in a world where we are sold on the notion that our fundamental rights still exist, but there are times when we must wonder if this is true. For example, we can have the full force of the law brought down upon us over a traffic violation, income tax irregularity, refusing to fill in a census form, even growing or using natural substances. These offenses do no harm to another human being and in no way violate any individual's fundamental rights and freedoms. So we must ask, how did things get like this? The answer is that your fundamental rights and freedoms are still intact as a natural person, but you've been tricked into believing that you have to follow the laws created for the corporate artificial person. This deception has only grown over the last 140 years. Some argue this period in history was the seed of what has grown into today's expansive modern legal system. Others believe that this was the beginning of the end for the great experiment known as the Republic of the United States of America. As a human being, you have guaranteed unalienable human rights. By virtue of existing and being what is known as a child of God, whatever religion you may or may not subscribe to, your rights come from the concept that you are a result of divine creation. This is supported by documents throughout history like the Magna Carta, UN Declaration of Human Rights, various constitutions, bills of rights, and charters of rights and freedoms of different countries. Unalienable, or unalienable rights, as in, no one can place a lien on your rights. They are yours to use freely.
The most fundamental thing that I've learned through all this is that they speak English, but it's a whole other language coming out of their mouth. And hence lawyers spending 8 years or whatever it takes to become a lawyer. They're trying to go and understand what the words and how this thing works.
If you try and speak to them in English or any other language, they won't be able to engage with you. You need to use their documents. And the reason why you need to use their documents is because you are within their corporation.
Well, they certainly don't teach you about what the law is about. They, And a lot of times there seems to be a more of a societal or a community conditioning where people that at 16, they go in there, get their driver's license, and it's a big deal for them, and yet they never ask themselves first, do I really need a driver's license in order to exercise rights? They get a social insurance number because they want to work legally in Canada, but yet they never study and understand the difference between, say, a contract for service and a contract for hire. So they're, to a large degree, they don't really teach much. It's almost more of a conditioning program that conditions you to believe certain falsehoods.
If you don't know your rights, you don't have it. And if you have to ask someone else what your rights are, you've just given them the power to tell you what your rights are.
Okay, Moose, we back. Now, this is some very, very interesting information. If anybody got any more questions, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will open up the line so that you can get in, okay? All right. Now, I want to go backwards and touch on some things that we've already discussed tonight, even though we are dealing with trust and what to do when you go here. Hold on a second. Area code 770, come on in. 770, you on the air. Okay, no 770. All right, now, we was talking about freedom of rights to travel and you know, your driver license and all that stuff. But let's deal with if you find yourself in the courtroom. Okay, let's we got to deal with that. Because I talk to brothers and sisters all across the United States on a daily basis. And a lot of times they call me from the courthouse. what are we going to do now? So, first of all, when they call you name, okay, your name, Jerry Johnson. Okay, they say Jerry Johnson, are you the next case, Jerry Johnson? You stand up and say, well, Judge, I'm here in regards to this matter. I'm making a special appearance in regards to this matter. In regards to the All Caps franchise, Jerry Johnson. Okay, we stuck at this point. They stuck, okay, because you... You're making a special appearance. You're indicating you have control over the franchise, which is the All Caps franchise, and now the court is forced to put its status and jurisdiction upon the record to say, well, we got control of it, but we can't do that. Okay. Now, it is at this point if the judge attempts to proceed or ignore and say something other than addressing the matter about your special appearance, you have to object. You just want to throw one of them out there. And I just toss it out there a little bit. You don't have to raise no sand about it because we're not trying to bring any controversy. What we're doing is we want to be more like, I need your help. I don't understand. Could you answer a few questions for me? First of all, because I'm afraid, I'm not accustomed to this. This is too much for me. And before I enter a plea, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get this thing solved. But I just have a few questions, if you don't mind. Please, sir. You'll say, well, okay, what's your question? First of all, can I get a fair trial? You know, I need to know whether or not I can even get a fair trial in here. Of course you can. Second of all, am I presumed innocent of this alleged crime? Well, yeah, you know, you're presumed innocent before proven guilty. Okay, well, my next question, Judge Dent, because I want to get this behind me now. I'm going to write this down. I am presumed innocent of this alleged crime. I'll write it down. My next question would be, and Judge, please bear with me, this is just a yes or no answer. We don't have to hold up the court. This is just a no, yes or no answer. And my question is, am I presumed innocent of every element of this alleged crime? Yes or no? Well, I've already, well, Judge, I just need a yes or no answer. I said, move on. I said you presumed innocent. Yes, but I need to know a yes or no answer to whether or not I'm presumed innocent of every element of this alleged crime, which would include your status and jurisdiction, which would include I'm presumed innocent, which will include we're going to need an injured party, and which will include we are going to determine your position as having any control over the injured party. All that's inclusive in that one question. Now, it is at that time, at this point, that the whole courtroom will be in an uproar because you are now officially hanging the court. So I want you to listen to the broadcast over again so you can get this down to a science and you can go in there and you can do this. You're not fighting anybody. You're just asking questions. You're trying to, you don't understand. You're trying to get some answers. And anything over and above that, if we're trying to proceed without you, we have to object. If you can't plea, I'll enter a plea for you. Objection, Judge, you are practicing law from the bench, and you can't enter a plea for me. That's my job. I'm taking this on myself and representing myself. I don't need anybody to represent me. I need you to answer the yes or no question, and we can't proceed until we get that done. I can't enter into a plea because I'm not trying to determine guilt or innocence. I'm just trying to determine intent of the court. I'm not saying that you're not a court. I just need some questions answered for me. And that ain't hard at all. That's very, very easy. Anyway, we've come to the end of the broadcast. And keep in mind, don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be back with what to do before you ever get there, so before you be going in there, and so you won't have to deal with learning how to do this stuff in there on the flow. We want to get rid of that before you ever go in there, okay? And that's tomorrow night, so make sure that you are here with us tomorrow night as we do part two of this broadcast and get this on out. I've been your host, Hog Almana LB, and until next time, y'all have a good evening.
Gave you all the right to a beautiful body, all wrapped up like new, and the clothes that you wear seems to fit you to a T. It's like you've been melted down and poured into those jeans. I said, ooh la la, I like what you got. Ooh la la, I like what you got. You're the best, you're better than the rest. Out of all those sexy ladies, honey, you stood the test.
You're so sexy when you smile. Honey, I like your style. If I could spend one night with you, I would crawl over a mile. I say, ooh la la,
I like what you got.
Ooh la la, I like what you got. Baby, 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 all I wanna do is treat you real nice and spend one night with you in paradise. Baby, do me, baby, do me right. I said, ooh la la,
I like what you got.
Ooh la la,
I like what you got.
Just like Janet Jackson, ain't nobody else in the world like you. You're like $2 million in a sack.